B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We're live, College Park, Maryland, CQ Stadium outside of Tizer Tower. They got a blood drive going. More information, check out Big10.org/Abbott. Abbott and the Big Ten are teaming up, trying to solve a blood shortage throughout the United States of America. Very good cause. Also, shout out to our guy Phil from Terrapin Station. Brought us up some lunch. Fantastic food. I got a steak and cheese. B. Mitch got French fries and lamb chops. That's an elite order. Now we also have an elite guest. Joe Theismann joins the program. Joe T, what's up, man?
Hey, guys, lamb chops for lunch, B. Mitch. Are you kidding?
Yeah, he's living, man.
Lamb chops are good for you. They light.
He's living the big life. They are light. You're absolutely right. Hey, guys, how are you?
We're good, great. Man. Joe, where were you last night for the Hail Mary? What'd you think of that?
In front of my TV, and I just absolutely jumped out of my chair. Like you know, everybody in the stands jumped out of their seats. I jumped out of my chair. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, I mean, Jaden did a great job of buying time and gave you an idea, because we always get the question as quarterbacks, how far can you throw the ball? Well, we saw him throw that baby 60, I figured about 65 yards. He threw from about the 35 to the goal line. So, you know, if anybody ever asked the question, Jaden, how far can you throw the ball? 65 yards.
Yeah.
But it was just, I mean, it was, you know, you don't want to say it's a team of destiny, but it's sure starting to look like it. I mean, just the amazing things that have happened so far this year in 8 football games. I mean, you know, you don't score a touchdown and you beat somebody with 7 field goals. Would have been 4 field goals yesterday had we not, you know, sort of chunked a tee shot.
He hit the 4th. It was the 5th that was the chunk.
Oh, the 5th one. That's right. The fifth that did it. And I'm thinking, here we go again. But, I mean, this is what makes this team so interesting to me. Is there a complete football team? Defense is stepping up. You know, they're down Jonathan, but defense is stepping up. It doesn't matter. Guys are making plays. Guys are giving second effort. You know, Deron just catching Caleb's foot there before he could pick up a first down on the drive. I mean, all the little things that good teams do, we're doing. And then, of course, you know, obviously there has to be a degree of luck. But I just like – unbelievable. I mean, I'm still in disbelief because that's just, you know, they call it a Hail Mary for a reason. You know, Drew Pearson's one of my dearest friends and went to high school together. And, you know, and it was Drew that play with Roger and Drew that created the Hail Mary up in Minnesota for the Dallas Cowboys. That's where the name came from.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like you just – I guess you could say you're not going to hear this from me very often, but I'm almost speechless.
But that's crazy.
Joe, the thing about it, though, like you've worked on that play, I'm sure, in your career many a times. But when you see it work, it's like a work of art. Him to be able to scramble around for 13 seconds and let that ball go right to where the guy that was over there taunting the fans got back in time just to tip the ball right to your guy. You know,
yep.
How do you describe it?
Just got back in time so that he can be ridiculed not only by his coaches but by everybody else.
Seriously.
You know, it was just amazing. I mean, you know, first of all, great lesson for everybody. It ain't over till it's over. I mean, until the whistle blows and the end of the game, that's when it's over. You just don't start doing it. But you know, look at the guys. I'll say this. These are the young guys today who are all about look at me. You know, they point to their back. They give you this flex. They make a play. You get paid to make plays. You know what I'm saying? You get paid to be on the field to defend plays. That was as much, you know, like I said, it's luck. But then there's also a lot of thought, and I know it because I talked to our defensive coaches about it, and you did too. There's a lot of thought that goes into how do you address this particular play. But the one that really set it up was the pass to Terry before.
Yeah.
That got Jaden within, you know, firing distance of how far he can throw the ball. If they put somebody out there and they rush 3, In that situation, you don't want to give the quarterback a chance to be able to make a play. You got to have people running around, chase them a little bit, make them a little uncomfortable. Jaden did a fantastic job of buying time. And, you know, I guess in Jaden's case, let's just say this, the legend continues.
I've watched that same play a lot, different levels. They rush three. You ever thought if you rush four or five, you might be able to get to the quarterback a little quicker than just expecting them to tip the ball away or whatever? Because it could also tip into his hands like it did last night.
Exactly right. I mean, the ball's going to go up, and it's, you know, wherever it lands, it's going to land. And fortunately for us, it landed in the right hands. But I look at, that's going to be a lesson for a lot of people. This is the second Hail Mary that we've seen completed this year. Aaron Rodgers got one a few games back, and now Jaden has one. I never had one, probably because I couldn't throw the ball that far. But we had to get closer. We had a better shot at kicking a Mark Mosley field goal from 50-plus. But it was just absolutely exciting. And, you know, you could almost, through the TV, you could almost feel the stadium just explode, just rock. I mean, unbelievable, unbelievable, really.
It was pretty nuts in there. It was really, really cool. And Joe, talking with Joe Theismann here on the BetQL guest line. Joe, you've been a part of some really, really good teams. What does a win like that do for a locker room and just for a group that's still coming together and learning a lot about each other, but going forward?
And this is Dan's challenge. It's a win. Yeah. Let's enjoy today. Today is Victory Monday. Let's enjoy today. But we have to go up and play the Giants. The Giants historically have been a pain in the rear end for us. Now we're going up to New York. They just got beat again, and they've been beat consistently. This is not a game that you can take lightly. This is not a game where you think that one element of the game, offense, defense, or special teams, is going to carry it. It's got to be the same approach that they've had, and that's the thing that I look at more than anything with our football team, is that it's been a three-phase aspect of consistent play that's made a difference. I thought, you know, I mean, Jaden didn't complete a lot of passes in the second half, but he made some plays, and that, you know, that jump through to avoid getting sacked on one of the crucial plays there in the fourth quarter, again, was just an indication of his awareness of where people are. How you saw Caleb not aware of where Duron was and got picked up 4 or 5 yards. You saw Jaden aware of somebody trying to tackle him, and he sort of jumped out of it and picked up 7 or 8. And, right. And those little yards make a difference. He has a great awareness of what's going on out there. He feels people, does a really nice job. And I look at the little things, like when he feels pressure and he starts to take off up the middle of the field, he puts 2 hands on the ball. He doesn't try and run through with 1 hand out and trying to make a play. And so, you know, I love watching him grow. I love watching them play. I love this football team, the way they're playing as a team. They truly are. You know, there's that acronym, TEAM, Together Everyone Achieves More.
There you go.
And that's exactly what they're doing. We have a train near the house, by the way, down here.
No problem, man. We're actually live in College Park today, Joe, so we got all sorts of crazy action going on.
And you know what, too? I'll tell you, that it's great that Abbott and, you know, you guys are out there to try and get people to donate blood. I think, you know, there's so many people in this country that need so much, and that's certainly one of the things that's important. And you guys helping it out, being out there, is terrific.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. It's been fun so far. I think, you know, with this team, you got to credit Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, all the coaches involved. I do wonder a little bit. You know, they had the red zone woes are starting to show up more and more. Is there anything you notice as a quarterback with that bogs them down in the red zone where they're getting field goals instead of touchdowns?
I think, well early on we saw it was penalties. You know, the instead of being first and 5 at the 5, it's now first and goal at the 10. Penalties early on. I think, you know, in a game like this, when it's so low scoring, you have to give credit to the Bears defense. They did a heck of a job not allowing them in the end zone. mean, the pressures came a lot. Jaden's still going to see a lot of pressures because he's young, and he's adapted and handled them well. But the ability to be able to try and run the football, so much of what they do is incorporated in the read options, just getting the ball in Jaden's hands. I think, you know, sooner or later, I mean, we used to line up in a power eye and just knock people off the ball.
Yeah.
And whoever the running back was, it was their job to run over the last defensive back that was in the way. I mean, that's the way Joe Bugle used to teach it. He used to tell John, we're gonna block 10. The 11th is yours. Just run over. and that was our philosophy. I mean, it was plain and simple. We'd run, you know, power left, power right, or different plays. And I don't see anybody do this. I don't see anybody line up in a three tight end formation and run the ball. You're backed up on your own 1 yard line, and you're in the shotgun.
Yeah.
I mean,
empty.
You know, there's fundamental aspects of football. There's fundamental aspects of football that just make your life a little bit easier. And being in the shotgun when you're backed up on your own one is not one of those things.
Talking with Joe Theismann.
I think, you know, being able to run the ball down around the goal line, you know, getting closer has got to be something we probably need to work on a little more.
Yeah, I think that's fair. We're talking with Joe Theismann here on the BetQL guest line. Joe, I wanted to ask you about the Washington defense was really good last night, and Caleb's struggles were probably part Caleb, but part defense too. Specifically, what did you think of Johnny Newton, the rookie that there was a lot of excitement about that dealt with a little bit of injuries and came on really strong last night?
I got so excited. I got a kick out of him. The first thing, he wouldn't give up that football. He would not give up that football. You couldn't pry that out of his hands. If he sat there and just something happened and all of a sudden, you know, he expired, okay, you were not going to get that football out of his hand. I mean, and then here he is sitting on the bench. You got, you know, your guy runs, you know, 100 yards, okay?
Yeah, they sprinted the whole way down.
It was smart. It was smart because you can't trust the officials to blow a play dead. You just keep on running all the way to the end zone, and then he jogs over and he sits down and he's got that football tucked under his arm and he grabs that oxygen mask. Man, he's throwing that oxygen mask on. That to me is that should be one of his classic pictures for his career. You know, you got the oxygen mask on, you got the football under your arm, you just made a big, big play.
Yeah.
You know, I think the front four, front five, the pressures, the way Coach Witt called the defenses, that just kept Caleb under constant pressure. You know, he missed a fair amount of people who were with throws probably later in his career he'll probably make, maybe. But he had some people down the field that he just flat overthrew and just flat missed them. And yeah. I think he felt the pressure all – I felt the pressure all day. But, I mean, if you look at the Bears' offense, he's run around a lot. He's run from pressure a lot. And, you know, we just kept the pressure on all day long. And it made it very miserable and uncomfortable for him to be in the pocket.
Definitely did.
And Caleb was long on every – I mean, he had – you don't really see uncatchable anymore, but he had a throw out the back of the end zone that there was some pretty good grabbing by the DB, and the ref gave the uncatchable signal because the ball almost landed in the stands. I mean, he was off, and they got to him early, and I think that made a big impact.
I agree with you. And my theory is this, and not just with him, but with – when you see quarterbacks – overthrow people down the field. They're not throwing to complete the pass. They're throwing not to throw an interception. So, you know, I mean, and Jaden is a wonderful exception to the rule. He was a little high and hot in the fourth quarter with some of the throws.
Yeah.
And how about Ertz making plays like they're making? I mean, you know, these guys are catching everything, which is if it's close, it's caught. I mean,
did you think that was a catch by Ertz in the end zone?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I agree with you. You can see once it hit the ground, it moved.
Yeah,
and if his hand would have stayed under it, yes, but the ball actually hit the ground and moved. Once it moved, it's over.
I didn't think they could overturn it.
Like,
it was called a touchdown, but I didn't think they were going to overturn it. Sorry, Joe.
Right. How about Jaden getting everybody to the line of scrimmage? That ball that he threw to Terry, that hit the ground.
Of the field.
That one hit the ground, for sure. He got him to the line of scrimmage quick. And, you know, normally what
Austin,
they do is,
real quick.
Yeah, you just, that's it. You just run a play. You get there. And but, I mean, that's every, gosh, this is so great. That's every guy on the team understands what's going on. It isn't just the quarterback saying, hurry, 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 get up. It's the offensive lineman. It's the receivers getting set. And that, to, you know, if you want to look at this football team and say, what's the most impressive part of it? Everybody is thinking. Everybody is thinking about the play at that moment. What do we need to do? What do I need to do to help the team win? And that to me is what it's done. And, you know, Adam Peters has done a terrific job putting this team together. That's the other thing is, you know, there's always got to be an architect. You know, it's don't throw up a building. You got to have some, you know, plans to be able to do it. And they found, I think, the right kind of people in the right place. I hope we continue to stay healthy. That's a big thing. San Francisco, you see the struggles they have when they're without their star players.
Yeah.
There's little plays in this game that just tell me, you know, Jaden's maturity, the team's playing well, everybody's playing hard. Like I say, Newt's run, that was priceless. I mean,
yeah,
just to see him sit down on the, just sit there, that ball was locked into his arm so tight, nobody could have pried it out.
Well, I don't think the referees even, I don't know why they had to sit there so long. Ball never got into big man's hands. It was a fumble from the onset. Right.
Hey, Joe, last one from me. You are always gracious and a class act. I'm just curious, did you enjoy the way the Commanders game ended and then watch Dallas get smoked on national TV in the late game?
Hey, but JP, let me tell you something. That wasn't the first time we saw Dallas smoked.
Yes, sure.
They've been kindling for a while. they really have. I mean, this let's put it this way. This was a better one than last week. I mean, they just – and, you know, Dak should have had a third interception. Sometimes, I love to watch the quarterback position, and I watch all of them. Sometimes he's throwing the ball places where you don't see, in this case, a white shirt anywhere. They're all red. I mean, they were battling over – if Fred Warner doesn't tip the ball away from, you know, one of the guys there, he's got another interception.
Right.
But, you know, this is what a football team looks like when you don't have the ability to run the ball. And they tried. I guarantee you, Mike's heard this. You know, we have to be able to run the football. We have to be able to run the football. But you can't. You don't. You let people go out the door that could run the football for you. And you brought back someone who's at the end of a career. If it wasn't for a couple of blown coverages by San Francisco with CeeDee Lamb sort of running scot-free all over the place with a couple of touchdown passes and big plays that, you know, nobody was in, you know, a zip code of, they would have struggled. But, I mean, you know, if you're going to play the Dallas Cowboys, stop CeeDee Lamb from running around scot-free all over the place, and you may even get less offense out of them than they have now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's they're on the struggle bus. And
they are.
It's been fun to watch, frankly. Yeah. Joe, thank you for the time as always, man. We really appreciate it.
Oh, great. It's exciting times in Washington. You know, we've always talked about cautious optimism. I'm starting to lose the cautious part. Now there's optimism.
I'm with you on that, Joe.
That's where we're getting, man. That's where we're getting. Joe Theismann, Burgundy and Gold, great. Thank you for the time, sir.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, man.
The great Joe T. We talk about cautious optimism. Now we're just talking optimism. Nobody go anywhere.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. Cap off NFL Week 8 with a chance to win on FanDuel, America's number one sports book. New customers can get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins on tonight's game. All right, we got the Giants taking on the Steelers. Hope the Giants keep sliding. We're going to see what happens with the Steelers. But when you get ready for the game, let's put a same game parlay in. Russell Wilson, over yards. You have Malik Nabers, anytime touchdown. How about Najee Harris? How many yards is he going to get? Is it going to be over or under? Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to make every moment more this season. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLE.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan, live out in College Park, Maryland at the Big Ten Abbott Blood Drive. There's a blood shortage in the U.S. You might not know about it, but it's happening. And 106.7 The Fan and the Maryland Terrapins need your help solving the largest blood shortage in a generation. Join the We Give Blood Drive today, but it runs through December. Donate blood today between 10 and 4, and you get free tickets to the Maryland-Rutgers game, and you could help UMD win $1 million from Abbott. Visit BigTen.org/Abbott for more information. Since we're in College Park, we decided we'd try to track down the coach that has a championship ring, and Miss Brenda Fries joins us, head coach of the women's basketball team here in Maryland. Brenda, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. I'm great. And, you know, as a competitor, I've just got to say, who doesn't want to help their school win $1 million?
Yeah. Like,
get out, go donate blood. It's for a phenomenal cause. None of us ever know what kind of situation we'll be in or have a loved one. So go help us out. Let's do it.
We see the people rolling in.
Yeah. I was completely unaware there's a blood shortage.
Same,
I don't really know how that happens. How does that happen, B?
I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I think around COVID time, not a lot of people were able to give.
That makes sense.
It probably dropped off then.
Yeah, great.
That's a good point. But if you want to give today or throughout this big blood drive, check out BigTen.org/Abbott. Coach, we were talking about it in the break there. You said you and your family got to see that Hail Mary last night. It's like the talk of the country right now.
Right.
What did you think of that play?
Oh, my gosh. I think, like everyone, you're just stunned.
Right.
No one was expecting that play to unfold. But just, you know, you talk about they were prepared. They knew what they were doing, just the patience and the poise. When you talk about from Jaden Daniels of just, you know, running the, you know, the time to let everyone get set. And I just loved watching his composure. And then, obviously, to make that catch and to win it, unreal.
Did you happen to see, I don't know if you saw this video, but one of the Bears defensive backs that was supposed to be involved in the play.
He's supposed to shield
was
Brown.
Off to the side, engaging, fighting,
taunting.
Taunting Commanders fans as the play was transpired.
No, I did not see that.
Now, obviously, it's a different sport.
As a coach.
Yeah, what is that?
Oh, man, you're going to have to live with that the rest of your life.
Like, there aren't enough laps you can run, right?
Painful. Yeah, every young athlete needs to see that.
He got there late, and his hand hit the ball that bounced right into the hands of the Commanders player.
Oh, my gosh.
It's pretty remarkable. You know what else is remarkable is the record you've put together here in College Park. And as a Terp alum, I love it. I remember watching the title game against Duke, and that was during, like, still the peak of the Maryland-Duke stuff. I know you've got the Dukies coming to town for a regular season game here in 2 weeks or so. How excited are you for this season to get going?
Yeah, we're really excited. I mean, we were able to get, you know, a very experienced roster, 10 new players, a lot of new players out of the portal. The practices have been really, really competitive. You know, we're preseason ranked number 18 in the polls. And then Duke is coming in here, and everyone knows this old rivalry that we had in the ACC and going all the way back to that national championship game. But they're ranked number 11th in the country, and they come on a Sunday, November 10th at 1 o'clock. We hope a lot of fans will come out. It's a Red Rush game, so opportunity to wear your red, and we want to pack the place. It's the third game of the season to see where both teams are at.
That's
they
cool.
may not be in the ACC anymore, but you still don't like them. Nobody likes them.
Oh, nobody likes Duke. Come on.
My daughter went to school here, graduated from here, and believe me, anytime Duke's on, she can't stand them.
It's that remains. That remains. It's funny, you know, how maybe not difficult, right? Because things evolve, but how different is coaching living in the NIL transfer portal world? How much has your job changed?
I think the word we use is it's complicated.
Yeah.
And it is really different from where we started, but you have to be adaptable. I think we all understand these student athletes put a lot of time and energy into their game, and they're like full-time jobs. But compared to when I first signed up for this job, it's I don't even recognize it anymore.
That's
but,
you
know, credit, I love our administration. They've been super supportive through all of this, have allowed us to be really competitive with our rosters. And at the end of the day, I get to coach phenomenal young women who are really talented in their sport. And we're just trying to put the best product on the floor to be the most competitive team.
Is the transfer portal the thing that's a little more difficult to deal with?
Yeah, you know, a transfer portal, yeah. NIL, you know, what, you know, I think all coaches right now are here for NIL, but it's not for the pay for play. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where, like, the you see differences of, you know, at the you used to be able to recruit a player on the same level playing field, and yeah. That's not so much anymore. So until they're trying to work through that with revenue sharing, but it's definitely thrown a lot of different things. But, you know, at the end of the day, at transfer portal, we've had a lot of success out of
it. Yeah.
So you lose some, but you also gain some, and we've been really fortunate to be able to get some great players out of the portal.
I'm curious, too, and forgive me if I sound naive here. I feel like because of the title you won, but I feel like women's basketball has always had its own lane here in College Park. But I do feel like a lot of it is Caitlin Clark and just mm-hmm. the growth of women's sports, women's soccer, everything. It feels like it's a different time for women's basketball. Do you, as somebody that's lived your life in this sport and in this as a profession, does it feel different to you as well?
It does. The foundation has been laid. You're 100% right, and as fans have been going, but Caitlin Clark has elevated. You needed someone like a Tiger Woods with golf and a Steph Curry in the NBA and mm-hmm. those players that have come before. So Caitlin Clark was it, and a lot of great, phenomenal players that have come before her. But now all eyes are on us and are watching the game. And so now for us is let's elevate this thing. Let's continue to get these fans out and supporting our game, and let's put the best product and team out on the floor that we can.
And has that impacted you got like has that impacted even just your attendance or interest levels and all those things?
It really has. Season ticket sales are up. Last year when Iowa came in the building and it was sold out, we're on national television all the time. So it's elevated in every step of the way.
It's now, fair. Didn't you grow up in Iowa? Aren't you from Iowa?
I did. 30 minutes from the University of Iowa.
Is she from Iowa? I know she played there.
Yeah, she's
is that like a state
she's
pride
from Des Moines,
thing?
And okay. Yeah, we tried to recruit her, but she's stayed home and credit, you know, built that program into a national power. It's unbelievable. Des Moines, Iowa, you know, about an hour and a half from Iowa City.
What was trying to recruit her like? She just did people project what became there?
I don't think anyone could have seen that. She was really talented.
Put some work in.
The credit, where I have a lot of respect for her is her first 2 years, she was, you know, like any freshman or sophomore. But the work that you're speaking of, she got in the weight room, really added strength, and then just became a better leader. She, all of a sudden, it wasn't just about scoring, although she was a dynamic scorer, and from range, she was able to get everyone and uplift them on that roster to be really successful. And that's what the best of the best do.
So speaking of the best, you know, I'm a proud Terps alum. Once upon a time, I gave like $25 a year to the college.
Need a little more than that in the NIL era, brother.
And maybe we get to 35.
You got to step it up a little
bit. I got
bit.
Two kids, dude. They just take everything. But how's your squad looking? How excited are you? What's your balance of new, old, transfers, recruits, all of it?
Yeah.
It's got to be hard to cook up the recipe.
It is. We're really have a lot of experience. Like I said, we have 10 out of 15 new players. Only three are freshmen. And then we return five returners from last season. But really, the bulk, we have six seniors. The bulk are in our upperclassmen. So that lends towards a lot of great experience. I've said this with this roster. Although we're older, experienced, and really poised, we need to stay away from the injury bug. We have players that have come in with different elements, I shouldn't say elements, I should say injuries that they've come in with that we have to make sure they're able to last through this long season. But I'm excited. They are really, really talented, really competitive, and it's going to be a phenomenal season.
When you have that experience on your team, how is it a little easier for you because some of the veteran players will lead the rest of them?
At times. It's also harder at times because when you have 10 new players, you're reteaching your system.
Okay.
And offensively, defensively, from a leadership end, yes, they know what that expectation is. Pretty much one-year rosters now that you're having to reteach every season.
Wow. Well, your standard and how you run your program has been such a high level for so long that just as one Terp fan and B's daughter went here, we both root for Maryland. Just you, how much we support and appreciate everything you've built here.
Oh,
seriously.
Well, thank you. But, you know, I'm really grateful.
The Elite Eight was what, 16 months ago?
I can't believe I'm going into year 23. And I'm really grateful for just this is an unbelievable. It's still my dream job. And it's, you know, has so many things to offer, both academically and athletically, and why we've been able to continue to be put in position to be really successful.
You know, this is so bizarre. When I had a buddy in Minnesota who was getting chirped at because the Gophers fans at some point were confident they were going to steal you away from Maryland. He was at a bar in Minnesota, and this was like 15. This was before the title. So I don't know what year I would be talking about, but it says a lot that you stayed here through a lot of different things and a conference realignment and all of it. So thank you.
Yeah, well, nowhere else I would rather be.
Okay.
All right.
Well, you could just keep sitting here with us. We're gonna take callers and talk about football for a while.
I'm enjoying the rays, the sun. I never get this in an indoor sport.
Terps women basketball coach,
appreciate
Brenda Freeze. Thank you very much for the time.
Thank you. Go Terps.
Go Terps. I that was very cool to have Coach Freeze sit with us. I did have a story for you, B. Do you remember 2 weeks ago or so when my dishwasher was kind of broken?
Yeah.
I dealt with this company, Better Appliances.
Okay.
And they came in and they tried to fix it. And the guy was like, listen, I can sell you a new one, but I might be able to fix this. It'll save you a bunch of money. We should at least try to fix it.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, man. And he tried. He got it going. Worked fine for like 5 days. I broke again. I called him. He's like, no problem. I got one. I'll have it in. Like, they knew they had one ready, but they at least wanted to give me the lower cost option. And that's what working with a good company like Better Appliances does. And now I've got a brand new one, and it's dope, and it's very, very quiet, and I'm impressed by it.
All right.
Better Appliances is a family-owned small business serving Metro D.C. since 1945. Celebrating 70 years of service of appliance repairs and sales, they go above and beyond to help you with almost anything you need, from emergency appliance replacement like me to sales and service. You can count on the team at Better Appliance Masters to meet your needs. You're not just a number. Better cares about its customers, and you can call them for anything wrong in your home. My Lauren's been texting the owner like for 2 weeks about this dishwasher stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They go above and beyond. BetterAppliance.com. Better get better. BetterAppliance.com. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Live in College Park. College Park, Maryland, home of the Terrapins. Helping to support a blood drive. Check out Big10.org/Abbott if you'd like to be a part of it. Or you can just walk by. Come say what's up to me and B and the famous Rachel Frank has joined us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to press the button. Jeffrey, get ready. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. It's going to be probably our only chance. We've had a lot of great stuff going on over here at University of Maryland. I do want to let some callers get in, though. I imagine there's folks on the lines. Let me know, boys, if that stuff is ready to rock. As we're kind of just taking it all in from last night's win, hearing Jim Nance right there, hearing Jim Nance, who's I think Joe Buck and Aikman are probably the best call going now, but Jim Nance's voice probably has the most gravitas, like Tirico. But Nance calls the Masters. He's called a million Super Bowls, the Final Four. Hearing Jim Nance say it's Bedlam in Landover, Maryland, just feels different.
It
you
does.
Know what I mean?
It does. And it was. He wasn't exaggerating, believe me.
No.
He was saying exactly what it was, man.
Yeah, it was it was just absolute chaos. And so we can do credit pies. We can just let fans react. We haven't been able to yet. I want to start it off. Is line 3 good to go? I believe it is. It's a Victory Monday tradition with our guy, Juke.
Let's go.
What up, Juke?
Timothy Daniels, he is him. Timothy Daniels is our QB for DC. Let's go, fellas. Let's go. Let's hit the victory ritual. Let's all hit the Ric Flair. Woo!
Woo!
Thank you, Jupe. Appreciate you, buddy.
Yes, appreciate you.
Man. The Ric Flair, he's making up his own song to Jaden Daniels doing it, Hail to the Redskins. Like, it was just – this is a new world for Commanders fans where last time they were 6-2 was 2008. That was Jim Zorn, I believe, and they finished 2-6. I don't feel like that's what's going to happen here. I don't know if you agree, B, but – this feels like they have landed on something entirely different.
Yeah.
And so much of that is because the coaching staff deserves a lot of credit. There's a lot of things that deserve a lot of credit.
Yep.
But Jaden is such a huge factor in it.
He is. He is. I mean, when you have a quarterback of his caliber and the way he plays and the humbleness that he has, it's easier for people, you know, to follow. And Jaden is the type of guy, if he keeps on his track here, where guys around the league will be like, I want to go play there. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
The receivers that become open or free, they'll be like, oh, I'm going to go over there. You begin to attract better people to your team. And I think that's the thing we kept saying. We get us a quarterback, things will change up a lot. And totally. We can see that happening right now.
Totally. Let's go to line five. Charles is in West Palm. I imagine West Palm is damn near perfect right now. What up, Chuck?
Hey, the weather is perfect, but that wind was much better.
I love it.
I don't think I've been to sleep yet.
I love it. Dude, I don't think you're alone. I think a lot of people were up. I had so many people tell me that they've just been watching, like, Hail Mary videos on their phone for 3 hours last night. Like, just people texting me that. And I got a couple friends that went hoarse yelling in the stadium last night. It was where were you when you watched it? Did you think it was going to go down, Chuck?
So I have to be honest. I was at home. And shout out to my neighbors because I know they were mad as hell at me. But it was like, 6 seconds left? And I'm like, oh, damn, we just lost it. And my six-year-old son was like, Dad, we still got this. And I looked at him and look at what happened. Man, that team.
Come on, Dad, the six-year-old no more, man, had more faith.
The six-year-old, guys. Like, that was an incredible moment. And actually, shout out to my man Rambling with Rio on YouTube. Because his son did the same thing. Like, we were just like, damn. Like, we've never seen anything like this before. And look at what happened. It's
Thank
incredible.
You for the call, bud. Appreciate it. You know what's funny is Lauren told me, I talked to her just this morning, that at the very end, so girls usually, we try to get the girls upstairs by like 7:30-ish. That game kicked at 4:25. It probably didn't end until about 8:10 or so. And so after the Bears scored like that, Lauren started to just kind of clean up. She was going to let the girls watch the end. She's like, it's only 25 seconds. Like, they can watch the end. But she was, like, kind of in the kitchen just cleaning up a little bit. And she's still, like, within earshot. She can still see the TV, but she's not really locked in. So she kind of had my five-year-old giving her play-by-play, which isn't, like, the best source. But then she's like, ooh, he threw it. And she looked over, and Shelby was, like, standing there, pins and needles. And then they all just went crazy when they caught it. And my girls can't believe it this morning. They're like, Daddy, did you see the game? I'm like, yeah, baby. I was there.
Yeah, I
was there. It was – I don't know, man. It that was a wild ride. And – listen, you can't count on those. There are things you got to fix. Tomorrow we talk about what needs to get fixed.
Yeah, we talk about that tomorrow.
Today is a celebration.
But you know what, though? The thing about it, though, Jay, no, you can't depend on that. But when it works for you and it keeps you going in a positive manner, when you look back at the end of the season, you might look at this play and say, that could have been the play. Or, you know, you look 10 years from now, it could have ignited something special. So, you know, take it. I like it.
Take it. Here's what we're going to
do. We know they practice on it.
Phone lines are open the remainder of the program. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley.